Welcome to the Menopause Moguls Podcast, where you'll learn how to slay in menopause and in entrepreneurship at the same damn time. I'm your host, Dr. Joyelle, a board-certified OBGYN, the menopause mogul, and the startup business coach for Black perimenopausal and menopausal women. Are you a professional woman, 40 and over, who's afraid of how you'll look, feel, and even think when you approach menopause? Or you want to take back control of your mind, body, and spirit during your menopausal transition? Are you 40 and over and want to build and launch your own business, doing something you absolutely love and create the life you want on your own terms? Are you 40 and over and want to reclaim your power, joy, and time during your menopausal transition and beyond so you can pursue your wildest dreams? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you are where you are supposed to be. This podcast will not only prepare you for what to expect during the menopausal transition, but equip you with simple strategies to launch a thriving business while managing menopausal symptoms with ease and in optimal health. Ladies, you will learn that menopause is not the end, but the beginning of your next level. As you launch your own business, your own brand that dominates in your industry like a mogul. So let's get started so you can slay your day like a menopause mogul and build your legacy. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Menopause Moguls. I have a special, extra special treat for y'all today. I want to introduce you to Representative Lisa Blunt Rochester. She is serving her fourth term as Delaware's sole representative in the United States House of Representatives. Blunt Rochester sits on the powerful House Energy and Commerce Committee, where she leverages her career experience as the former Delaware Secretary of Labor, Deputy Secretary of Health and Social Services, Head of State Personnel, and CEO of the Metropolitan Wilmington Urban League, to advocate and author legislation in the areas of health, environment, and innovation. Welcome to the stage, Congresswoman Rochester.
Thank you so, so much. It's so good to be with you. It is truly an honor to be with you as part of, I call it, our collective menopause movement.
Yes. It is a movement. Yes. And I am honored too. I know you are a busy lady, so I appreciate you for hopping on here, but we're going to get right into it because we know you got things to do. So just so I can let the audience know, I was blessed by Congresswoman Rochester's energy in this breakfast I was actually invited to at the Hill. And it was about menopause policy. And I was really attracted to your authenticity in regards to your experience, as far as your own personal experience with perimenopause. We're going to start there. Yes. So if you can share just a little bit about your own personal experience of, around perimenopause and menopause.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having this platform, because I wish this had been here for me, right, like when I was young. And I think that's the most important thing about what you're doing. Like, we shouldn't think about this when we get there.
Right.
We're in it. Like, let's start thinking about perimenopause and menopause as we are maturing and, yes, and growing. And so for me, I think there was like this fear attached to it, and even shame in some ways, the way people would talk about women going through the change, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we called it. And I remember, you know, my mom had to have a hysterectomy, so she didn't have the same experiences that I did. So even going to my mother, who I love and who is just, you know, I talk to her about everything. she couldn't really relate to what I was going through. And right. I remember, I guess it was like my early 40s. All of a sudden, I started like experiencing hot flashes. I did not know if it was just I was nervous and I would just get hot, and I'd be in a meeting. All of a sudden, I get a hot flash. And I might have shared this with you, that I was literally giving a presentation to an audience of people in Boston. And I remember all of a sudden, I just became overwhelmed. And I was like, excuse me. I opened up the window and stuck my head out into the cold because I just needed some air. And, you know, I think that's part of my message is that I want us to reclaim this important and beautiful part of our development as women. And so for me, it was, you know, at a certain point, I was carrying a fan everywhere I went. Like that was a staple in my pocketbook. Wherever I was going, I had to have a fan.
Right.
Went from the hand fan to the electric fan with the little button that somebody gave me, the one that you put around.
Yes, I have that one. That one is amazing.
It really is. And so I always had a fan with me. So I remember being at a party one time and I just walking into the room, all of a sudden I just felt this wave. And I just ran in the bathroom, just ran my hands under cold water just to kind of get some coolness. I remember being in the bed, you know, my poor husband did not know what was going on. I would put the covers on. I would take the covers off. I had the ceiling fan going in the winter, you know.
Right.
But part of the thing that really bothered me was that I didn't feel like there were a lot of resources out there for me. I didn't feel like there was, even when I talked to my gynecologist about it, it was kind of like, well, there's some supplements you can take in the drugstore and there's this, but it really didn't feel like there had been the research that we need.
Right.
And there really hadn't been the supports. And so for me, this ability to be in the House of Representatives and to be on the health subcommittee, because I'm on the health subcommittee, is really an opportunity. But also my previous jobs, I was Secretary of Labor, head of state personnel in Delaware, CEO of the Urban League. Like, I also see this as an economic issue, too, because when we as women can't be productive, you know, do that thing in the workforce and not have the right supports from our employers, that's an economic impact on the country, not just us.
Yes, on the country.
It's a drain on the country. I think there's like a $1.8 billion impact in like lost wages.
Right.
So, again, there's the money side of it, the job side of it, the personal side of it, and just our own ability to breathe and know this is natural, this is normal, and it is to be celebrated.
Yes, I love that celebration, right? Like you said, a lot of us go into this phase of life where we are fearful. We are like, oh my God, I don't want this. Doom and gloom and all the things. So I love that you enlighten us with that idea of celebrating this phase of life. This is something that we actually get the privilege to do. This is actually a gift because a lot of us don't get here, right? Yes. Like a lot of us don't make it here. So in order to get here and, you know, like I said, embrace the development of, we're still evolving as we're going through this phase, right? And like I said, it's a natural thing, something that we all have to go through. We can't avoid it.
Right.
But it's something that we actually have to pay attention to because it affects, like you say, all facets of our lives.
Yes.
So you created this amazing WARM Act.
Yes.
Which is WARM is the acronym for We're Addressing the Realities of Menopause. I love that. I was like, oh my gosh, WARM, like, it just came on again. I was like, okay, that I need to know more about this. Yes. So can you please let the audience know like what the WARM Act is and what was it formed to help in regards to perimenopause, menopause, and women's health in general?
Yeah, thank you so much for bringing this up. You know, first of all, I want to share with everybody that I have a co-lead on this legislation, Representative Harshberger, and she's a Republican. So like this cuts across. It doesn't stop at party lines or any of that. You know, this affects, as you were saying, all of us. And for us with the WARM Act, what we really wanted to do was, number one, have a nationwide awareness campaign. Mm. You know, a lot of people are going through this transition and don't know about screening tools or treatment options or things like that, the things that I wish I had known. And so first is to say, this is something we all should care about and we all should have a nationwide awareness campaign. That's one part of it. The other is that we need to invest in medical education and training.
Yes.
So that the next generation and the current generation of healthcare providers are equipped to treat us, to inform us, to help us, to advocate for our own positive quality of life. And then the third really component of this is to invest in evidence-based tools and resources. It's one thing to you know, have an old wives' tales, another thing to like have like real concrete evidence-based tools that will help us as we are on this journey. So we have the WARM Act that's bipartisan. I did a resolution to highlight World Menopause Awareness as well. And that also was bipartisan. And then I've got legislation with the incredible Congresswoman Yvette Clark from New York and Debbie Lesko on that I'm working with them. I'm a co-sponsor that deals with research. Mm. And we as Black women are disproportionately impacted on menopause as well.
Right.
And so we want to make sure that we're doing that. Another Congresswoman as part of this movement is focused on women in the military. And for me, part of it was to raise awareness in Congress. Mm-hmm. And I actually had Halle Berry came and sat in a roundtable that I hosted with women from the Bipartisan Women's Caucus and the Democratic Women's Caucus. And she talked about her own personal experiences so that people could see, even if you're a star, or even if you're, this is going to, can happen to you. And she shared, as many of us do, that, you know, there's the work aspect, but there's the personal aspect, even in relationships. I mean, she had a real blunt conversation about the impacts of having sex.
Yeah. I saw that little bit. I was like, whoa. Yeah.
Real.
All the way real. Yes. Yes.
All the way real. You know? Yeah. So, but I think that those things, again, contribute to our quality of life. And so, you know, the other big area is I was able to lead a letter to the First Lady, Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden. She has been prioritizing women's health. And in our letter, we wanted to make sure that as part of her White House initiative on women's health research, that menopause be one of the priority areas as well.
Yes, I love that. And for you, like you said, to have every, you know, people from both sides of the aisle, right? But I'm curious, though, was there anybody giving you the side eye?
Great question. if they were, they kept it to the side. I mean, this is how great it was when Halle Berry came on the Hill.
Yeah.
Even the guys were like, we want to learn about
right.
We even had a meeting with leader Hakeem Jeffries.
Nice.
On the Senate side, actually, it's kind of funny because we're working with the Senate as well.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Schumer, the leader Schumer, as well as Cory Booker, they wanted to lead the bill on the Senate side.
That is awesome.
If anything, we've built more of a groundswell than it has been there before. And you know, I was just sharing with my team. I was just walking through the airport about 2 weeks ago, and there on the newsstands was Oprah Magazine, a whole issue dedicated to menopause. Like everybody's talking about it, and they get it. You were ahead of the game. Everybody's catching up with you.
Yeah, I love that. You're right. Because, you know, when I first came out with my platform, we didn't really see a whole lot of men. Now we got commercials. We have Oprah, Halle Berry, like all these people are coming out. And I love that you have, you know, like I said, Representative Cory Booker and everyone just coming from, you know, women and men coming together on this issue, because menopause not only affects us, it affects all the people around us, our partners, our colleagues, because of, you know, how we feel about ourselves and how we, you know, move in this next, you know, phase of our life. So I love that you are starting this movement, like you said, in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, for all of us to really amplify this conversation and also support, right? Because this phase, this transition, can be, you know, very isolating for a lot of women. And I know a lot of women, you know, still out there are feeling alone and think they're, you know, just going through this thing by themselves. But it's really important for them to know that, you know, you are definitely doing what you need to do to amplify the conversation, as well as the support and the resources for women. Because like you said, you know, there's so many that are out there who don't know what to do, where to turn, and things like that. So it's awesome. I love that you are creating this WARM Act with the facets of providing the resources and the guidance these women need, as well as the medical education. Because I would have to say, from my experience, you know, going through medical school residency, there was no education about menopause. I was scrambling, trying to look up stuff when I got into practice, when I had menopausal patients come in. I'm like, all right, I don't know. Let me go look this up real quick before I go in and see her. So I love that you also included that in the act.
Yes. No, well, we're glad to have done it. And as you said, there are now new treatments. I was meeting with one of the companies and they shared with me that they did an ad during the Super Bowl. Mm. It was their number one. That was like the number one ad. Was the one related to menopause. And so, right. You know, again, I really just thank you for your advocacy and you being a champion. And I do think to all of those out there that are feeling alone, you are not alone.
Yes.
You are not alone in this. For those of you who are feeling, you know what, they said I should do this. I tried it. It didn't work. We need to make sure that we're doing things that are tailored to us as individuals.
Right.
It's not a cookie cutter, one size fits all.
No.
Bodies are different, you know. But there, this is for me, I am grateful that I made it to this phase. You know,
right.
I remember puberty. I remember bearing two children.
Yes.
And now this past year became a grandmother.
Oh, congratulations.
Dude, it's the best thing in the
world. Yes.
It's a girl. And I love the fact that I can fight for education and awareness, but also her right to do
things
with her body.
Exactly. That part.
Yeah. It's an important time. It's an
definitely. So. Yeah. I have two girls and a son, and a lot of, my passion about this movement and, you know, this platform is for them to be able, you know, when they get to this point, they're not feeling alone and scared and like, you know, they'd have no idea what's going on. But they know they're 13. My girls are 13, 11. My son is almost 9. And they know, they've heard of menopause. They've heard of perimenopause. So we've had these conversations. So they won't, like, when they get to this point, like, what's that? Like, well, I don't know what that is.
Right.
So it's important to have that conversation with our children so they will know. Because like you mentioned, you know, your mom never mentioned. For you, from my experience, my mom, she didn't get any symptoms. Me over here was over here on the struggle bus. Yes. So she was like, Joyelle, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm like, yeah.
Exactly. And my mom, she talked to me about everything, but she didn't have the same experience. Just like you said,
Ryan
didn't have these symptoms. And so, you know.
Exactly.
But then the beauty as well of, you know, there's also a freedom of shifting to this new phase.
Yes.
You know, I'm now 62 and it's like, I can wear white every day.
Yes. No concern. No. You know,
it's beautiful.
Exactly.
And at the same time, again, I just, you know, I want people to not even feel bad when they bring out their fan.
Yes.
You know, like,
right.
No,
right.
I don't have to make an excuse. This is who I am in this moment. And I'm grateful.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. So we're coming to the conclusion now. So I want to get into the rapid fire questions before you go. So the first question is, what brings you joy?
My granddaughter.
Yay!
She brings me so much joy.
I cannot imagine.
Cute, it's smart, and you know, she just brings me joy.
Yeah, awesome. Okay,
and Beyonce.
Yeah. Me too. Yes.
I'm like Cowboy Carter all day.
Oh my gosh! Do you like the like? Okay, I'm not a country music fan.
I wasn't.
But I was like, okay, now Beyonce, now I'm a country music fan. Like, girl, like,
even has opera in that one. Like, it's like,
It's awesome. It's awesome. Yes. Okay. The second question, what is one piece of advice you would give a woman who is approaching the menopausal transition? What would you tell her?
I would say, don't claim the shame. Like, get your information, take care of yourself. But like I said, I want people to have their fans with pride.
Their
fan around, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But like, don't let other people put on you that you should feel a way about it. Make sure even when you're advocating for yourself in your doctor's office that you're like, no, I'm not going to be timid about this. Like, I am going through this. I need help and support. What are my options? Don't claim the shame.
Don't claim the shame. I love that. I so love that. Last question. Fill in the blank. I am blank years old and my superpower is?
Okay. I am 62 years old and my superpower is my head-heart connection.
Oh.
I see and feel a problem. I listen. I try to analyze it. And then I try to connect the dots and turn that action into impact.
Awesome. That's awesome. It. Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Thank you so much. I cannot, like, the words cannot express how I appreciate you just finding a little bit of time to hop on here with me to share your experience, your story, and the work that you are doing. Thank you so much for the work that you are doing.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you.
Same.
Take care. All right. You take care. Bye-bye. All right. Wasn't she? Oh my gosh, y'all. Like, that was amazing. All right. And if you are out here struggling or whatever, I hope that you have are more optimistic after that conversation, that we have legislation, y'all, that is in the works that will help bring you more resources, more guidance, and more support as you embark on your midlife journey. So if you are a woman of color, who was being called to do something, I want you to be assured that you can do anything while you are going through your menopausal transition. And like Congresswoman said, do not claim the shame. And just embrace the evolution of yourself. And again, find the resources that you can, that suits you, that you can use as you go along this journey. So until next time, and as always, sending love and light to you all. And y'all take care. See ya.
Thanks for listening. If you had any aha moments or learned something new, please let me know by leaving a review. And please share this episode and share this podcast with all the ladies that you know. Head on over to my website, drjoyelle.com, and subscribe to get my monthly newsletter and get all the tea on women's health news and business news. Also, join my private Facebook group, Menopause Moguls, so we can thrive in menopause and in business as we build our legacies together.